John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother, Simon, and told him, "We found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel presents the disciples and John the Baptist discovering Jesus the Messiah. The marvelous statement, "Behold, the Lamb of God," brings to mind the musical setting of Handel's Messiah. The full chorus slows the tempo and with full voice and splendid harmony announces the Messiah. The discovery of God made flesh, the full mystery of Jesus. The passage from John's Gospel we've just read offers a variety of responses among the disciples. The commentators are very quick to point out how the individual disciples found a rabbi who satisfied their expectations of what the Messiah ought to be. Our fuller view of the Gospel reminds us that there's a vast difference between these first expectations and the final discovery of who Jesus really is. It's all the difference that one would find between infatuation and mature love. This variety of response and the recognition of Peter offers us a theme for reflection. What sort of Messiah have we looked for and discovered? How does our behavior indicate the sort of God that we worship? For me, the theme calls to mind the book Jesus Before Christianity, and in it, Albert Nolan, a Dominican from South Africa, raises the possibility of approaching Jesus in a more direct way. He points out that no one is perfectly objective in the process. He identifies his point of view and motive as the suffering of so many people throughout the world. And he wants to see what Jesus was like before all the cultural additions that have made up the richness of our Christianity came into play. I would have a slightly different set of concerns. I would be trying to see how the Messiah could be considered the God of all peoples of the earth, and in what sense we might say that about him, what we might say about him is true. Not just some cultural adaptation. As with the apostles, we all have reasons that have shaped our first belief, everything from a dramatic conversion experience away from destructive behavior to the decency and discipline of a religious tradition, or even the quiet blessing of a solid Christian family. In any case, there's room for growth, and the need for an adult to choose that which is true. As with the disciples, we need to allow our understanding of the Messiah to expand into the reality of God's generous gift of his Son, and that Son for the salvation of the world, then, now, and for all time. We can see how the apostles adapted their understanding of Jesus according to the political and religious expectations of the Judaism of their time. We see in history how various Christian churches accommodated their understanding of the Messiah to the very limits of their social and intellectual awareness. Knowing a bit of church history is helpful here, but we can trace the evolution of Christian belief and our understanding of Jesus according to the best insights of every age, and indeed even in our own experience. Like the apostles, the mystery of the reality of the person of Jesus far exceeds our personal understanding of the Messiah, who is now revealed not as a political savior, but as the very Son of God. Like Peter, we're pushed beyond the boundaries of our faithfulness. our worldview and best intentions are at the most small and inadequate. These are just approximations of the grand mystery of God's design for life and salvation. As a young priest, I took care to be in the correct religious factions and to espouse certain fashionable religious attitudes. We Dominicans tend to be very flexible in moral matters, but rather firm in areas of dogmatic belief. Well, as an older priest, I have a deeper desire to search for what I call the truthfulness of what I've preached and enacted in the sacraments of church worship. It's an ongoing learning process. I know there's a whole lot that I cannot understand, and yet, in faith, I can engage the very being of God in contemplative prayer and enact the promise of God's love for all people in the Mass and in the other sacraments. Today's Gospel suggests a sort of practical activity for all of us. Like the apostles, we can trace our coming to faith in Jesus from fear to love, from doubt to faith, from childhood to adulthood, from justice to mercy. After we have done this, we can see what is left to do. How do we engage the promise of salvation with all our brothers and sisters on the earth today? How do we renew our wonder at the creation of God, of a world that's daily expanding beyond our capacity to understand or the limits of our imaginations? How do we receive, celebrate, and cherish the love of Jesus for each one of us, even in our broken condition? Well, it's almost as if we're coming to believe in God for the first time. It's almost as if we're speaking of Jesus in a way that could really command our full attention and that of our brothers and sisters as well. As if we too might say for the first time with firm and beautiful conviction, "Behold the Lamb of God."